Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And once again, what a blessing it's been just being in church on this Sunday night. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 23. 2 Kings in chapter 23. On Sunday nights, we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that have a message for us. And we have been going from the Old Testament back to the New Testament and trying to just go back and forth and give you an idea of the many Bible characters that God has preserved in His Word. And if they're in the Bible, then God has a purpose for them being there. And I believe there's messages for us from each one. And so you get the message from a lot of the more well-known Bible characters, but some of these little-known Bible characters, now we've been blessed to study many that have given us a positive message. Tonight, we're going to be studying one that's actually helps us to know what not to do. And his testimony was not that which was pleasing to God, but yet God has recorded it for us to learn from it. And so, 2 Kings chapter 23, we're going to be looking at verse 34 and look down to verse 37. So if you'll stand with me tonight, we'll read the Word of God here concerning King Jehoiakim. King Jehoiakim. And verse 34, the Bible says this, and Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah, his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebudah, and the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this evening, we thank you for another opportunity to be in church. And I just pray, God, that you would just open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us tonight. I pray that you would use me once again to bring forth your message. I pray for your anointing and your power upon the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Jehoiakim was king of Judah. Now, before Judah would be defeated and taken into Babylonian captivity, as was predicted by some of the prophets, and as we read and we study back, that's exactly what would happen to Judah and Israel. Both would eventually be in Babylonian captivity. But before they were taken into Babylonian captivity, Jehoiakim was the king under the oppression of Egypt. They had already started in a backslidden direction, and God tried to wake them up, and he allowed them to come under the oppression of Egypt. And that's where we find Jehoiakim and God's people at this time. But Jehoiakim, and the most important thing to realize about this Bible character is that the Bible says that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, what evil did he do that we need to learn from? And as we study here, we look, first of all, in the passage of Scriptures in 2 Kings, it gives us a brief understanding of who he is and what he did. But then we get into the book of Jeremiah, and the Jeremiah's prophecies, Jeremiah reveals much of what Jehoiakim did that was evil in the sight of God. We see a little bit of it here, and he looked to please Pharaoh more than he looked to please God. And in doing that, he would show no respect for God's children. He would show no respect for God's messengers. And he would show no respect for God's word. All of these things is what Jehoiakim would rebel against. And as we would rebel against these things, he would look to please Pharaoh more than he would look to please God. And I think today, in the day and age we live in, I think a lot of people today are often focused on trying to please the wrong people. And even churches today are trying to please the wrong ones. They're looking to please their congregation when they need to be looking to please God, and how they preach to their congregation and how they minister to their congregations, and on and on and on. But all too often we find that God's children focus on trying to please the wrong people. We lose sight of Romans in chapter 8 and verse 31 when it tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? When it's trying to help us to see the most important thing in our lives as children of God, as born-again believers, is to make sure that you're pleasing God so that God can be for you. And God is for righteousness. God is for holiness. God is for obedience to His Word. God is for that, and whatever that might be, and whatever position you might have, and whatever place in life you might be as a teenager, God is for you to obey the will of God for your lives as teenagers, the college age, the young adults, the married, on and on and on, all the way through to old age, amen? No matter where you're at in your life, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and you have to be looking to please Him where you're at, with what circumstances that God has allowed you to find yourself in, and look to please God in whatever state you're in. No matter what your circumstances of life, you can please God. Or you can do as we find our Bible character tonight, Jehoiakim, look to please the wrong ones and turn your back on the most important, and that is Almighty God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, let me just read it to you. Like I said, you can write this down, but 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, it says this, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because..." Now, if you want to have power with God and you want to get your prayers answered, "whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." That's somebody that's getting their prayers answered. And he says, "because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." One of the most important things that any Christian can understand is, if I want the blessings of God upon my life, I must look to, and you've heard me say this often, position myself for God's blessings upon my life. God wants to bless us. God wants to fellowship with us. He's given everything He can give in order to allow us the privilege of being able to come into His presence. We are reconciled to God through the gift of Jesus Christ, a tremendous price paid on the cross of Calvary, as God sent His only begotten Son to die for us. What a tremendous price that was paid. He paid that price so that we might be reconciled to Him. God wants us to fellowship with Him. God wants us to look to please Him, and we please God by just being obedient to His Word. Amen. Well, we know that to be true, and that's a lesson that every one of us needs to learn. But here we find the story and this account of King Jehoiakim, the prophet Jeremiah. First of all, I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 22, because he presents much to us concerning the life and the actions of Jehoiakim and how that it displeased the Lord. The first we find in Jeremiah chapter 22. One of the things we found that it said in 2 Kings 23 that he was looking to tax the people and giving everything that they had, and possibly even more than he would have to, because he wanted to please Pharaoh, because they were under Egyptian oppression. And so he figured that if he was in good with Pharaoh, that Pharaoh would at least treat him right. He didn't really care much about how he treated the children of God, but if he could position himself by using the children of God to please Pharaoh, then that's what he was all about. Again, too often, that's what people get this mindset to use whoever you need to use to get yourself in a position to get the most out of this life. Well, that was a mistake. That was what Jehoiakim did, and that was evil in the sight of the Lord. We find in chapter 22 of Jeremiah, starting in verse 13, it reveals that he would have no concern for the children of God, but focused on how they could benefit him. Verse 13, Jeremiah prophecy, and he writes this, and he says, "Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness." Build your house by abusing others and getting money in the wrong way. Unrighteousness. "In his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work. That saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion." Now, this is, he's referring to, and we'll see this in just a minute, Jehoiakim and what Jehoiakim was doing. He was, at the time, he was taking more, extracting more from the children of Israel than what was necessary so he could give it to Pharaoh so he could have Pharaoh's blessings, and in return, Pharaoh allowed him to build him this kind of a mansion. "Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar?" Is that the reason you want to reign, so that you can have a cedar house? "Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him?" Don't you have any kind of history that you can look back to and see the ones that God blessed? The ones that did right by God in Judah were blessed by God? "He judges the cause of the poor and needy." God does. "Then it was well with him." Was not this to know me? To know me, didn't that make it well with those that did right and were blessed? Wasn't the most important thing is to do right by God and how you're treating others? He says in verse 17, but thine eyes and thine heart are not but for thy covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning, here it is, Jehoiakim. That's what it's all about. That's what he was referring to, how Jehoiakim had been living his life as king of Judah. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, all my brother or all sister, they shall not lament for him, saying, all Lord or all his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of an ass drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem." So we find here that God is speaking through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's prophecies is to Jehoiakim that God is very much aware of what you're doing, and you're doing evil in the sight of God. And mark it down, God sees that, and God will judge that kind of action. Wow. God's will is found in doing good. God's will is found in living a selfless life and being concerned about others. And that is the example that Jesus Christ himself has set for us in Christianity. God himself became a servant to show us an example of how we ought to live our lives, and looking not to take advantage of one another and not to build our wealth upon somebody else's loss, but yet to look at what God has blessed us with and use it to be a blessing to someone else. That's what the Bible teaches, especially in this New Testament church age with the example of Christ and Christianity today. The Bible says in Galatians in chapter 6, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't get weary in doing good for people. Don't get weary in doing the right thing what's right in God's eyes. That's what's righteousness. Righteousness is simply what is right in God's eyes. And whatever you, wherever you find yourself, you need to be looking to God and determine, according to God's word, what is the right thing to do by this brother and by this person and by that person and by whoever it is that you come your paths cross. What is God's will for my life concerning this other individual? I guarantee you, God will never put you in a situation and bless you taking advantage of somebody else. That's not how God works. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God says, in due season I see what you're doing, and in time I will reward thee. But it's the same thing. If you're not doing right, you're going to reap what you sow in unrighteousness as well. In the very next verse, he says this, a very familiar passage of Scripture. As we have therefore opportunity, who knows what kind of opportunities we have? And who is it that puts us in a position of opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else? It's God who does that. And so it says, and we have, as we have therefore opportunity. God does not expect us to do anything that we cannot do. But as we have opportunity, it means that you can do something. Let us do good unto all men. That's a lifestyle, that's a mentality that we need to live by, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially to those who call themselves brothers in Christ. What a blessing it is to have a church family. And God's design for the church is that God brings them in and he plants everyone here. And those, as God plants you here, you have a gift and you have something that you can contribute. And through that, it makes a complete body. And every part of the body is functional. And every part of the body is needed. And when the body is working well together and we have the family that God has established in the church that he has planted us in, then we can be a help to others of the same body especially. But our mentality ought to be not only just to be a help to those, we ought to, especially the brethren, but we ought to live a life that is a blessing to all. As much of opportunity as God gives us. That's God's will for our lives. That is not how Jehoiakim was ruling. That was not the mentality that he had. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 down to verse 18. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Is that Bible? Is that what God has recorded for us? But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You're not yielded to the love of God if you have opportunity to help somebody else and you refuse. Basically, what he's saying. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Can I tell you that living by the Word of God will put you out there? Some will say, preacher, that'll put me in danger of somebody taking advantage of me. And the reason I don't do that, preacher, is because I have been taken advantage of by this person and that person and another person, and I've just gotten sick and tired of it, and I'm not putting myself out there anymore. I'm not going to look to help anybody else. Does your experiences change what God says? Is the Bible the very same before and after whatever life experience you might have? Have all of us been taken advantage of who live by that? And the answer is yes. Because there are evil, wicked people in the world that are looking to take advantage of those that want to be a blessing and help. We need to use wisdom and understand the opportunities that God brings into our lives to be able to help those that God would have us to help. And if I'm helping an individual based on what God has told me to do, I don't need to know what they are going to do with it. I don't need to look for something back in return from them. Because what is most important by me using whatever God gives me to help somebody else is that I am doing what God wants me to do to be a blessing to whoever else it might be. And I don't really look at them to understand whether I did the right thing or not, because they might not respond the way I'd want them to. And they might take my help and disappoint me. If I was looking just to have the approval of man, if I was looking to do something just to be recompensed for how you could recompense me, then I might not live that way. Because there's always going to be somebody who's going to take advantage of you doing good. But if you do what God tells you to do, you'll never regret doing what God has told you to do, as long as you stay focused on His will. God, you've opened the door of opportunity, and you've impressed upon my heart. You have led me, and I don't do anything off the cuff. I pray, I seek God's face, and I want to be a help. I want to live my life not being afraid to help somebody because they're going to disappoint me. That's a wrong mentality. I want to live my life as God would have me to live my life, in pleasing Him and doing whatever God would have me to do to be a help to somebody else. Amen. That's how we ought to live. That's not how Jehoiakim lived. He looked at everyone else and said, I'm going to take advantage of you so that I might exalt myself. That's worldly mentality. You're going to be disappointed from time to time in people. But God will never disappoint you. Concerning others, do good. As you have therefore opportunity, as much as lieth within you, at whatever God has blessed you with, be willing to use it as God would have you to use it to be a blessing to others. Jehoiakim had no concern for others. Jehoiakim had no respect for God's messengers. Not only did he have no respect for God's people, he was using them, but he would have no respect for God's messengers that was trying to get to him God's word to help him to have the blessings of God. Jeremiah chapter 26. Go back with me. Jeremiah points it all out. In Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 20. I'm sorry, 26 and verse 20. Jeremiah's prophecy, he writing down, he says, and there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah, Kirjath, Jerem, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, that's that same king we're studying, this little known Bible character, and when Jehoiakim the king with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elthan the son of Achbor, the certain men with him unto Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Wow. Jehoiakim did evil in the sight of the Lord. Not only did he have no respect for God's children, he showed no respect for God's messengers. The Bible teaches opposite. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. For God's people, he says, I'm going to send you messengers, and I'm going to send you, in our New Testament church age, you have pastors, and you have teachers, and you have evangelists, and you have missionaries, and you have those that God is going to work through to bring and to teach you the very words of God. And he says to his people, esteem them very highly for their work's sake, because they're just my messengers. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well. Now God says, listen to me, let the elders, and that's the pastors, the bishops, of the referring to the pastoral position in the church, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Not somebody that's going around and telling you, you honor me, just like the head of the home. If the husband has to tell his wife he's the head of the home, he's really not the head of the home. And he has the wrong mentality concerning that. Amen. But those that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Now that's what the Bible says. A lot of people in America today, and a lot of people in society, they have no respect for a preacher. And the reason for that is they'll be able to claim they've been hurt, they've been misled, they have tried to show respect for a man of God that turned around and did something that hurt them. And because everyone has an experience, can I tell you, even in this congregation here tonight, more than likely, just about every adult here that's been in church for over a few years has had someone who called themselves a preacher, a man of God, a messenger of God. You've heard, had somehow that individual has hurt you in some way. And based upon your experience, you say, I'll never trust another preacher again. Did that change the Bible? Did your experience with that pastor, did your experience with that pastor's wife, was your experience with that Sunday school teacher, your experience with that deacon, your experience with whatever, whoever it might have been, did that change what the Bible says? And the answer is no. But did it change how you look at preachers? Satan uses the testimony of the ungodly, no matter who they say they are, to hinder the thinking of God's people. And too often we get focused on our own personal experience and we come to our own conclusions on how we're going to trust or not trust anyone. And I guarantee you, over the last 20 years, there's been a lot of them in the headlines. And sad to say, Satan's going to work on the church that's preaching and teaching the Bible. And God's working through them more than anything else because he wants people to turn against that. And there have been more Baptists and more fundamentalists that have done some of the weirdest and ungodly things that you could think of. But were they really the servants of God? And the answer was no. They were serving themselves. So no matter what kind of experience you might have had, it doesn't change the Bible. And if it doesn't change the Bible, you can't please God unless you are living according to His Word. Amen. Don't let Satan rob you from God's blessings and positioning yourself for God's blessings of your life. Get back to understanding what the Bible says. Do good as often as you can. Do good. Respect the messengers of God. Respect the one that wants to help you to understand the Bible. Because no matter... For every rotten preacher out there, I can give you five good ones. Amen. Amen? Amen? Problem is, the world wants to make public the rotten ones. There's some good men wanting to help. Yeah. Doesn't change God's command. Don't allow it to distort our thinking concerning God's message. Well, Jehoiakim, one last passage of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah, I mean, he reveals his sins to us. God says he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he gives us a little insight in 2 Kings there. Well, Jeremiah comes out, and God has him tell us exactly some of the things that he did. Jeremiah chapter 36. And this is probably the worst thing that anybody could do. He showed no respect for God's word. Jeremiah chapter 36, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. This came from the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, take thee a roll of a book and write thereon all the words that I have spoken against thee, spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against the nations from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. God says, I want to bless them, but they got to know what they've done right for them to repent and do right. I've got to have the message. They have to have my word. They have to know what they've done wrong so that they can learn to do right. And when they do right, I can bless them. Amen. You see, that was God's heart. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Nerah. The Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. They were looking to kill Jeremiah. We find that Jehoiakim was already doing that. So now he gets Baruch to take the word and take it to the king. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth in the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also that thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch, the son of Nerah, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, and reading the book in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Okay, so we have that. Now drop down to verse 15. They said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass when they heard they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and of another, and said unto Barak, we will surely tell the king of all these words. Had to go through all the different ones to finally get to the king. Then they asked Barak, saying, tell us how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Barak answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Barak, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah. So he knew that this come from the prophet Jeremiah, from the words of God, from the mouth of God. And so in verse 20 it says, and they went into the king and to the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber, Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month. There was a fire in the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three of four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Verse 24 says, and yet they were not afraid. It just burned the word of God. They just trashed the word of God. And yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. To reject the words of God is to reject God. To say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm not going to do it, is like slapping or spitting in the face of God. And people do it today with no fear. No respect for God's word. You have no respect for God's word, you have no respect for God. God's response to Jehoiakim. Chapter 36, look down to verse 27. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll. And the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll. You might burn the word of God, but the word of God is going to stand forever. Amen. Yeah. And the first roll which Jehoiakim the king had burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. Jehoiakim's rule reign is going to come to an end, and he will have none of his sons reign in Judah. And his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. Ultimately, we can do whatever it is we want to do. We can disrespect humanity. We can disrespect the servants of God. We can disrespect even the very words of God, which is disrespecting God. But ultimately, every knee will bow. Ultimately, God will judge our actions. So what's most important? Not trying to please Pharaoh. Not trying to please our neighbor. Not trying to please the pastor. Not trying to please the president of the United States. What's most important for God's people is to live your life looking to please Him. Is how we're living our lives, pleasing an almighty Creator God. That's what's most important. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.